DLGaming.net presents the Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Anders Logic.
I'm so balls deep in Binding of Isaac right now. Binding of Isaac. It's time for golf with friends.
Flopsy.
You didn't want to talk about we need to go deeper?
Your host, Robert Digital.
It's very large.
And Smoochie.
As a black male, it is not safe for me to play Pokemon Go.
Now, turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Watashiwa Chi.
And I'm Emilio.
All right.
How do you say I'm Emilio in Spanish?
Well, I was going to say I was the threshold of bladder pressure that gets you out of bed in the morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, think about how, like, when you're super comfy, but you also have to pee. And you just have to wait it out either way. Like, you either fall back asleep or it just doesn't let you. I'm the one that makes you get up.
Yeah.
I'm that one extra PSI that puts you over.
Because once you get up, there's no going back.
This is true.
I just hold it in and wake up with a UTI. I don't give a fuck. Let's move on.
All right.
Well, we should have thought about this better, Bobby. How are we going to give away the keyboard live?
Yeah, that's true.
We really can't do it.
All right. Well, we'll come back to it.
Okay.
Well, at least let's talk about it. So if you didn't know, we have a Patreon keyboard giveaway. We're giving away the bloody B845R illuminated keyboard. On Instagram, I showed a little video of like the different pre-programmed lights, light show. It's digital_logic with a K if you want to take a look at it. And I think we're going to figure out during the podcast or post-podcast, but we're announcing our winner today. So by the time you hear this podcast, there should be a winner. Or by the end of the podcast, there should be a winner. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. So
stay tuned, folks. Work on it.
All right, cool. So let's talk about a few games that have come to our attention this week. Who wants to go first here?
This is both a callback to last week and also a shout out for Captain Gummy for bringing this game up. Agony. It's a super scary looking game. First person, I wouldn't say shooter because it doesn't look like you have any type of weaponry at all.
You don't even see hands from what I'm
Well, this is a video. That's not gameplay. Bobby, can you bring up gameplay? That's what really, I say sold me, but it doesn't sell me because I'm never going to play this fucking thing. It looks like you're in hell and it's super dark and the walls are made of meat and there's creatures all over the place that are creepy as fuck and you scare them away with your torches.
Oh my gosh.
And everything moves really creepily and it seems like from the small gameplay footage that I saw, you can't find any gameplay.
I thought this was gameplay footage that we're watching here.
Looks kind of like a trailer to me. But because it has color. This game has color. And that's also... Anyway. So it looked like a lot of lighting mechanics. Super dark in different places. And then you light one torch to throw another one. And then be able to like... Now you're safe to walk into that area. So those are the best scary games. The ones that really utilize light and dark very well. Anyway. So if you guys... Well, you'll have to check out the gameplay video to see if you guys are sold. But
what's cool is that this game is based in hell. You're not in some haunted mansion or, you know, like I feel like most horror games are based in on the surface.
Something spooky.
On Earth's surface, you know,
like
supernatural. This is actually horror. Like you're in the depths of hell. And that's interesting and new. And I'm pretty sure that's really scary.
Except for maybe Doom, but that was more action.
Well, in Doom, hell was only, well...
A part of it, right?
Yeah, it was only a part of it. I'm thinking of Doom 3. Mm-hmm. That was the one that really doubled down on the horror genre, in my opinion.
It's so creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy, but you know you're in hell, so you know it's supposed to be creepy. Now, in games like Outlast, where you're just in an asylum, and the boundaries of what's real and supernatural are pushed, whereas here, it might be so obscure that it's hard to believe, so it's hard to be afraid of it.
The only thing is that if it's set in hell and that's the only setting, that could get boring after a while, and even worse, not scary if it gets repetitive.
Be boring, Bobby? Is hell not
anything? Gets boring if you've been there long enough.
Bobby shows up in hell after after they find all those skeletons in the closet, and he's just like, boring. The Satan's all pissed off.
It's like pineapple in my asshole.
Fuck, look at any good
been there, done
movie.
That. Boring.
There's an up and a down to it. You have to have parts where it's kind of light. You know, you let the audience relax, and then you scare them, and then you have to pull it back again. You can't be Dead Space 2 and just be constantly balls to the wall, gore and violence and horror just 100% of the time, because it just, you know, it loses its diminishing returns.
None of these videos do it justice. You guys will have to check it out later.
Have you watched gameplay footage on YouTube of this game?
Yeah, maybe that's what it was that he linked. But there's five videos here, so who knows?
Yeah, that looks good. I'm interested. Its release date is set for 2017.
Superb graphics.
Yeah, the graphics alone are phenomenal compared to most horror games available out there. And you really are just fully encased by horrific images. So that's cool.
And it looks like it's one of those games where you don't fight. You just run and hide and use the fire.
God, I hate those games. All right. So outside of the horror theme, there is a brand new game coming out very soon, if not already released by the time this episode is launched, October 17th. Mad Age and This Guy is the name of the game. It is a, basically, I would say it's a homage to classic RPG combat. Okay, when I say RPG, I'm talking, you're a little steampunk dude. And everything is just simple pixels around you, and you drop bombs like Bomberman in these dungeon-esque maps. It seems like a very lighthearted, fun game. And from what I understand, Atomic Wolf, who developed this game, they took a lot of what classic RPG dungeoning was and put it together in one game to offer a really, I would say it's a very lighthearted, different type of environment because it's steampunk. How many steampunk games are out there outside of, what would you say,
especially
Bioshock?
This genre. Like
yeah,
in
pixelated steampunk. So it seems really cool. You go through different stages.
Zelda-esque, right?
That's what Zelda meets Bomberman, meets Super Mario, it seems like, because you're not platforming at all, but it seems like you progress from world to world. And there are little monsters that you defeat by dropping bombs on them, and I'm sure you get upgrades.
Could
and there's
be good.
There's probably a cute little story to it.
Could go either way on that one. I think, like, it has potential, but I can see it being good or bad. I don't know. They're sometimes throwing too many things into the blender, and you just end up with mush.
Yeah, release date is October 17th, and there isn't a price on this one,
which is odd to me. So a price would predetermine.
$59.99, clearly.
No, this one here, if I could guess the price, and maybe we can revisit this. If I can guess the price on this game, $14.99 max.
That sounds reasonable. That sounds reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. This is not a new game, but it was one that I just happened to find on Steam. It was on sale, and it's called Coming Out on Top, and it is a gay dating simulator.
Uh-oh.
No comment.
I saw this.
No comment. I've already been in trouble. No comment. And it's Email Killer in Discord just said, you're welcome, but it's actually welcome, W-H-A-L-E.
See, I figured, you know, your main issue with the daddy dating simulator, whatever the other one, Dream Daddy, was the kids, I don't know.
The motherless kids.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. Maybe this one will be better. But I have never seen.
Ooh, that guy has tiger stripes, dude.
Yeah, there's quite a variety.
All these guys are hot. And there were some hot gay couples out there. Like, I have nothing against gay couples or gay men whatsoever. And a dating sim, I've played dating sims. I enjoy
it. Am I
right? Hot lesbians out there
dropping a dog off a helium balloon. That's weird. This came out December 2014, which means that it has been it has gone unnoticed for this long. I'm surprised this seems like something that people would just be memeing left and right.
It has 34 reviews, but it's positive.
Yeah, on sale for $14.99. So if you're curious. Or if you're bi-curious, check it out.
Oh, goodness.
He had that one. He was sitting on that one for a week.
Why would you recommend this?
You
this is
bastard.
The game you're recommending,
you dirty
Bobby?
No, I just wanted to bring it up to get your opinion on it.
I have no opinion.
No.
No comment, no opinion.
Yeah.
This is funny. This is the first time. I guess we're all going with cheese game because, like, I didn't want to play my game. Bobby, I guess you're going with Agony, right? Bobby?
I would go with Agony.
Yeah. I'm going with Agony.
Boom!
I'm all about the horror. Guys, by the way, I think we should do some group horror event. I'm thinking of going to the Haunted Hotel. I have one free pass, so if you guys are interested in coming, I can probably get some discounted tickets because I know one of the actors for Haunted Hotel.
Hmm. They're actors?
They're in reality, they're freaks, but when you put makeup on them, like they're true, they get to express their true side.
I thought they were real axe murderers. Moving on.
Convincing. Moving on. Yes.
All right. A couple other games that are coming out this week. South Park, The Fractured Butthole.
Can't
wait. Very excited about that one. I really want to pick this up, be part of the whole first day release everybody's talking about. I want to be part of that, but I don't know. It's probably going to be what, $59.99? I don't know if I want to spend that on this game.
Probably $39.99.
Let me look it up on Steam here. I'm pretty sure it's going to be, because the first one was, I pre-purchased the first one.
Oh, I think I did pre-purchase the first one for the full 60. The thing is, I'm excited for this game, but I don't think I'm going to be a day one release date consumer. The reason being is because I still haven't beat the first one, even though I'm pretty far in the first one.
It's not, I want to say I beat it in like 2-3 days.
Yeah, it's probably not a very long game. I just plowed
right through it because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I have a tendency to pick up games and then just leave them behind.
And there's a good amount of content there.
Man, the graphics are better than the first one for sure.
Yeah, $59.99.
There's more depth. I mean, okay, wait. South Park graphics. Can you really say that they've changed even that much? I mean, subtly, yes.
Watch season one.
Of course.
If you watch the last episode, they're doing a lot more with lighting in the newer episode, I've noticed. But the newest episode, did you guys watch the latest South Park episode?
No.
Because just like last time, it seems to be tied in with the release of the game. So like this whole thing, the franchise prequel with all the kids dressing up as superheroes.
Yeah.
Like I think that's going to be what the game's about, and that's also what the last episode was about.
The last game was about that too.
Yeah,
I'm excited. I'm very excited for this, and I would love to be able to finish this game probably, I wouldn't say before, but hopefully within the same week that this game is launched, just so when people are saying how amazing this game is, I can actually relate to their experiences. Like, oh yes, this game's great. It's like
going to see a movie on opening night, like with the theater crowded. Like, it's a feeling of community. So
it's also one of these things. I feel like you don't even have to play it. I feel like this is something
you can watch somebody play.
You can watch it, or watch it on YouTube, yeah. Because it's such a structured story that your own choices don't really make a huge difference.
This is actually, I'm sorry, the first South Park game is one of the first games I ever streamed on Twitch, and I'm not sure if my past broadcast still exists for it, but if I wanted to pick up this game and pick up where I left off, most likely I'd probably have to watch myself play the damn game just so I'm like familiarized with it once more, because over time, just like with movies, if it's been longer than a year, I'll completely almost forget everything that ever happened.
Mm. Cool. Yeah.
All right, one last game I wanted to bring up, Spelunker Party.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that. This is being released October 19th, so 2 days from this episode is aired.
I showed up wholly unprepared for the podcast, and I was just panicking. And then I saw Spelunker Party, and I thought maybe it was like a multiplayer Spelunky. Well, Spelunky already is, but more of a game mode.
This looks way more casual.
Yeah, this seems like it's pretty cool because the graphics are.
It looks like a Wii U game.
What is
Spelunky? Spelunker.
This one, it says Spelunker Party, but it's not party games. It seems like there's like a legit levels and puzzles you have to solve together. And it seems super casual and just pleasant.
When I see the word party.
You think of party
I think
game.
Of Mario Party.
Yeah.
I think of board game. You go around.
I bet it has some
games,
of that
shit. Winner at the end. But this looks like a platformer with what are those little things? Mii's, M-I-I's.
Yeah.
So that's what this game looks like so far.
That's exactly. You nailed it.
Local co-op, online co-op, local multiplayer. Yeah, a lot of options here.
To be honest, though, it looks like a really fun platformer game. And I think it would be a great introduction for maybe a younger audience into platforming. But I don't know how difficult this game would be.
I don't know. It seems like something that is casual enough to play with someone who doesn't really play a lot of games, or if you're just chilling out on the couch. That's what I like about it.
This might be a me and a Sam game. And maybe it's time to get her daughter in. I mean, she's 5, but we'll see.
It's old enough.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some games we have been playing here. So the big one released this week, Middle-Earth Shadow of War.
So I went and go ahead and I bit the bullet on this one, $60 on this one. But it is definitely something that you don't say, oh, there's no way I got my money out worth. Like, it was 70 gigs, right, Bobby?
Yeah, 70 gigs.
It's That's fucking
humongous.
Huge. There's so much stuff
I would have to install 2 or 3 games. My computer has a hard time recognizing my extra hard drive, so I'm only running on my SSD. Like, I would not be able to... SSD. Oh, sorry. Right? Solid state drive.
I got it right, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm
2
drunk.
S's, 1 D.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, this game would just break everything in my computer.
Well, the first one, I was amazed that this was 70 gigs. That's the biggest game I've ever seen.
Me too.
In my entire life. The first one had a 10 gig high-res texture pack, and I'm wondering if they just included that in this one.
They did, because I think, you know, the console version has theirs, mm-hmm. and then when they bring it over to the PC, we get the high-res texture pack, because we're awesome, and it comes included. When you go to the store page and you see what you get, there's like 3 checkboxes that we get for free. That I don't think that the consoles can even
on Shadow of War?
On Shadow of War, yeah.
Okay. God, these are labeled so closely, it's kind of hard to tell them apart. But I played a little bit of this game, probably not a whole lot, and it seemed a lot like the first one.
It definitely is a lot like the first one, for sure.
Better graphics, I'd say. Like, it looked really good. The cutscenes were really long, like they're really playing out the story. And looks like the same Nemesis system, which is great. I mean, that was an awesome thing when it first came out, but I'm surprised they haven't tried that in more games.
Yeah, me too.
I really thought that was going to be like the next big thing. It was going to be like, you know, the Battle Royale. You know, it was like all these Nemesis game clones were going to pop out.
Is there any way that can be proprietary, Bobby? No, right?
I don't know.
I don't think so, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
But you know why they're not doing it? Because how much... goddamn work it must be,
yeah,
dude.
Probably.
Holy fucking shit. So if you don't know what a Nemesis system is, basically the first game, like, somebody would kill you and like a boss, there's so many captains, you're taking down an entire army, and you're doing it from within, like sneaky tactics. And so you'll either conscript guys by kicking their ass or kill them. And then they'll give you information on another guy, and you just kind of like go up the ladder. Kind of like a lot of movies, like Taken. It's kind of like Taken. Like you have a particular set of skills. And anyway, so in the first one, it was like if one of them kill you, they would level up. And then you saw them again, they'd be like, hey, I kicked your ass last time. Let's go at it. But now it's just like so much more intricate. Like, they take it to a whole new level. He's like, you know, they'll tell you shit like, hey, remember when I threw you off the bridge last time? He's like, yeah, I got... It's like, how many of these lines did they... It's fucking crazy. It's somewhere between an infinite amount of work and them tricking us into seeming like an infinite amount of work. Because every time you play it, all the captains are randomized. They're not set dudes. So they have set different names, different abilities, different weaknesses and strengths. And so you'll never play the game twice. As far as the game, really weird about the cutscenes, not as good looking as a regular game. The game looks better than the cutscenes, which is, I've seen that in maybe 2-3 games. It's just a weird move. Like,
when you're fighting these enemies, is it kind of like a boss fight where everything is staged, you have a set area that you're fighting? Or
imagine,
how do you go about the world?
Dynasty Warriors, when you take down one of the other heroes. Like,
so
you,
it's a lot of...
it's like Batman games, chaining attacks together, blocking and dodging. And I mean, the boss is obviously a lot more stronger, but he's got a bunch of his guys around typically.
And not just him.
You got to like infiltrate a fortress.
Oh, you
got to
love but not the just Dynasty that. Warrior.
But like, your fight can spill over into the next street where that's full of orcs, and they're all going to jump in. So you got to try to contain the fight as much as you can.
Yeah.
I'm getting my ass kicked in this game. Bad. Really bad. Way, like, I was on a high, like, I'm actually good at video games after Cuphead, and now I'm like, I'm fucking terrible. Like, every captain has
Why
leveled
are you
up three
struggling?
Times.
Why are you struggling with Shadow of War, then?
I'm not one for stealth, and I think they kind of, what is it called when they force you to do something? Pigeonhole? What is that?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Anyway, they're trying to force me to stealth, and I'm having a really hard time fighting them.
So you're just being preemptive in provoking battles that you're not prepared for?
I guess so, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not getting enough information.
Are you leveling up your character, or are you just getting new weapons?
I'm leveling up the captains from my deaths more than I'm leveling up. So it's getting worse.
Oh.
So I think I'm going to have to start fresh. It's pretty bad. I've died 6-7 times, and I've only killed.
Find a way to level up. This whole nemesis system seems like something that would work really well in a Grand Theft Auto game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just so surprised it hasn't been copied. But
so technically, when you lose to a boss, the game just doesn't end, and you just reload from your last save.
No, you're an undead spirit. That's part of the lore of this game.
Yeah. What's interesting, the downside of like getting killed is that time passes. Right? So you're all within time. This is kind of a weird thing. So all these fucking captains hate each other or like each other, and they have all these like intricacies going on, like their own economy, all this stuff going on, right? But nothing really happens until you die. So say Grog was going to kill Mog, and you were supposed to be there, either stop it or make sure it happens. But if you died on the other side of the map, that happens without you even getting involved.
The storyline.
And now Mog is stronger because he killed Grog, and now you got to deal with this super strong guy instead of the other way around, where if the lower level guy, you wouldn't have to had to deal. But yeah, now so you're...
It has the feeling of a persistent world.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to say is that dying has multiple repercussions, not just leveling up the dude that killed you. And by the way, he gets stronger against you because he knows your moves.
Because you're probably in a different area of the battlefield, mm-hmm. too.
So shit's going on. If you die, shit goes on the other side. But if you don't die, it doesn't happen. It gets postponed until you get over there. So just don't die. Basically, fucking, I gotta stop dying. Like, now.
Isn't that always the answer with video games?
Yeah.
So PC Gamer talked a lot about the loot boxes. There was a bit of an uproar about loot boxes in a single-player RPG game. And I feel like PC Gamer kind of dispelled a lot of the rumors and said it wasn't really that big of a deal. But I don't know. Did you take a look at any of that and all that you played, the loot box system?
Not at all. Not even a little bit. I'm getting in-game loot by killing captains and, like, mm-hmm. equipping that, but no. Like, it's
it is
not
kind
something.
Of weird to have loot boxes in a single player game, and then you can also buy XP boosts, which is really strange because, you know, like PC Gamer was saying, usually you design a game, like an RPG game, where, you know, you're going to be around this level by the time you get to this area, and that's, you know, a mark that you want your player to hit. And if, you know, that is somehow messed with, like if they're higher level or lower level, then that kind of offsets the whole game. So I don't know. It seems really strange to me, but it seems like something you can just completely ignore. There is a whole lot of content to this game, though. Like, this is something that I feel is designed to, like The Witcher. Like, they're going for The Witcher 3 here, where you could just play this game for, like, the rest of your life.
But it is different, because the map is nowhere near the size. The map is the size of a town of Witcher, but it's the intricacies in the civilization that the orcs have within themselves. You're interrupting their social network. And by the way, Bobby, I think that that initial area that we're doing is just that. I think you pass that and then you go to a bigger, you probably go to Mordor.
Well, that's what happened in Shadow of Mordor.
Okay.
You leave one area, you go to the next, and it was fairly big. I mean, it was pretty big, but I don't know. I can't compare it to The Witcher 3 because I didn't play a lot of that, but it seemed smaller than the Far Cry maps.
This seems like Far Cry. As far as like things to do, there's so many things to do.
Are there actual quests that you pick up along this escapade?
There are quests, but they usually have to do with the captains. Like one captain's going to do this thing, so go stop him.
So it seems like it's a lot of live time battle. Is that a way to kind of express it? Like if you're there, everything else in the world will stop as long as you're working on this one thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And it just moves with that momentum.
Yeah. But if you die, you get penalized.
Things are only happening around your area of effect. Mm-hmm. And then if you die, you get penalized and the world just like moves on without kind of thing.
Yep.
Okay.
So I was wondering if you're going to work.
You nailed it. What I couldn't say for 45 minutes.
I was wondering if they're going to work any multiplayer into this, but it looks like not. In the original Shadow of Mordor, you could, like if your friend had died to an orc, you would see that orc on your map, and you could go kill him, and then a notification would pop up in their game saying that they've been avenged.
That's got it. There's no way they would lose that.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be in there. I'm sure that's in this one as well.
Wait, so it's multiplayer, but you're not actually playing together?
No, more like in a Souls. It's
not even a Souls kind of way. Like it's a weird way to kind of tie it. I wouldn't even call it multiplayer.
Is it like an overlapping of single player?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like your game influences your friend's games.
Okay. I see.
God, we are like so good at explaining things.
They do have the high resolution texture.
Yeah, three glasses in.
4K cinematic pack. I don't have any of these installed, I think. I think this is outside of the 70 gigs. They have a 4K cinematic pack.
Oh, shit.
Maybe that's why the cutscenes don't look great.
Dude, I thought it was, like, automatic. Okay. So you got to download them outside of the game?
Yeah, I believe so. That's what you had to do in the original one. And it's probably huge, like the high-resolution
texture pack. This game is so massive,
it's
Link.
It's massive, G. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I looked at the page for Shadow of Mordor.
When it comes to your entertainment factor here, or the amount of fun that you're getting from this game, it seems, I don't know, it seems pretty just straight line, muted almost. Like, you guys can talk about it, but it doesn't. I'm not actually hearing enthusiasm around it.
It's a good point.
It's a sequel, and like I have a hard time playing any sequel that just seems like more of the first one. I love the first game.
How about Left 4 Dead 2, bro? It is more or less the first game.
Let's not go down that.
That's Left 4 Dead.
I got some opinions on that game, but enough time has passed. I don't think anyone cares about that anymore. But as far as like this sequel goes, the first game I played all the way through it in a matter of like 2 days.
What?
I think maybe even one day.
Dude, I don't remember this at all.
Yeah, dude, look it up. It's in one of the past episodes, 2014. I plowed through the first one. I liked it a lot. And yeah, this
is before HOTS, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. This texture pack is 15 gigs, though.
On top of the 70? Are we sure about this?
100%, right?
Holy fucking shit.
Space, 15 gigs.
Damn, I'm going to do it, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if I'm going to play it right.
I can imagine how much one person can become, already alone, the attention to detail, the amount of space that it requires to play this game. This is a huge game because there's so much involved. When you're playing this game, does it leave much room to play other games at all?
This is not a game for podcasters.
Or is it enthralling to the point where you are so immersed in this game, like you were in the first one, where you have to beat it, play it through from beginning to end?
I might have to play this on easy, just so I can get through some of the content.
I think you get through it. Start a new playthrough if you aren't that far. I'm sure you'd be fine.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I checked Steam charts, and the first game, Shadow of Mordor, 5,000 people were still playing that currently when I looked at it that day.
So there's that much shit to do. Or they picked it up cheap. Because a lot of time, that's what happened.
Or
they were giving it away,
actually. Yeah, when you think about it, a lot of people will play the prequel before diving into the sequel.
No, a smart move by them. Who is it, Bobby? Is it Warner Brothers, right?
Warner Brothers game, but
yeah, they were giving away the first game for free for like one day, which is a smart move right before this came out.
Yeah. I mean, that goes on sale for like $5.
So uninstall, Bobby?
What, am I going to uninstall?
Yeah.
Probably not. I want to put in the high-res texture packs and the 4K cinematics and just see what that looks
like. Yeah, me too.
At the time I played Shadow of Mordor, I couldn't run it with the, because you need a lot of memory on your video card for that. And I didn't have enough back in 2014 to be able to do that. I think I still had a 690 or a 590 GTX. Mm. So, yeah, I'll definitely do that. I'll probably mess around with it a little bit more. But I think I want to say I spent maybe 22 hours on the first one. There's no way I did it all in a day then. Or maybe, no, it was 17.
No, you said a few days.
Yeah, it must have been multiple days. But if you, there's a lot of stuff to do in this, but if you follow the main quest line, I think you can get it done fairly quickly. At least in the first one. I assume so with the second one.
This one, like, if you run around and do the auxiliary things, I'm getting, like, good loot from it. Like, it's definitely worth doing. So
I assume you have to do some of that just to stay leveled enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. The reviews are kind of mixed on it. What's it getting on Metacritic? Like 69?
No, I got, well, 83? The day I bought it was an 83, yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's not bad at all. But so did you play it majority stealthy, Bobby, the first one?
No, I just put all my points into combat. Oh, the first one?
Yeah.
No.
Is it also combat?
Yeah. Yeah, just, okay. I just throw points into combat. I actually was really leveled up, too. Like, I had a lot of points in all the different talent trees.
It's kind of tricky because I guess the smartest thing is to go to combat because you're always going to be fighting. And then nobody's immune to combat. But they're all, some of them are immune to a lot of the other options. The archery, the mounted, the other stuff. So maybe that's what I'll do.
A lot of the bosses seem to be immune to archery. So.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's worth putting a lot of points into. All right. What else you guys been playing?
I got a chicken dinner. I don't know if you guys want me to keep telling the story, but I'm not going to tell the story. But I did stream it, and I just want to say that how the experience was. This was my best.
Was this a solo squad game?
Yeah, this is my best single solo game ever. I got 9 kills, which isn't crazy compared to the other guys on our server.
Hey, it's exciting. I was watching a stream broadcast, and I saw somebody land a military base and kill 5 people.
Damn. Off the bat?
Not, like, off the bat, but within the first 3 minutes.
Damn.
So it's like when you land, generally when I land a military base, I'll kill 1 or 2 people or die immediately, and then that's it. But this person, it was like the deaths were just funneling in, and it was awesome. It was That's epic. Awesome. Like watching people play Battlegrounds keeps my like thing on permanent Kegel. So tell me more. Sorry.
I just wanted to say how I think streaming for the first time maybe made me a little bit better. Well, in Cuphead, I feel like I was trying to show off, like I'm trying to get it done, you know, because there's more pressure because people are watching, right? But in this game, I only saw 2-3 people watching, but I was explaining what I was doing and why I was doing it. But I was thinking after I was done that I would have, if had I not been streaming, I would have just been going off instinct without thinking things through. And so trying to act smart led to me playing smart and getting
so being a try hard.
Yeah.
Being a try hard, got you somewhere. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind
of.
No, I don't understand what you're talking about. I do the same thing with Heroes of the Storm from time to time. If I'm streaming, my APM goes way up. I'm like clicking on the mini map, checking different things, and I'm kind of doing it because I know people are watching.
Right.
I don't want to look like.
Guys, it's the complete opposite for me. If I'm streaming at all, first off, I'm probably drinking. So my skill level goes way down. Secondly, I get distracted from chat so easily that I will die and I'll be like, oh, God damn it, I was reading chat. I died.
Yeah.
And then not only that, it's like the pressure of having to be entertaining keeps me from doing well at all. In fact, I'm not even focused. Like who I am on stream and off stream when it comes to gaming, completely different. Like if I'm not streaming and I'm gaming, I'm so tunnel vision. I'm so focused on winning. Whereas when I'm streaming, I'm more focused on having a good time and just like communicating with
Which
my
is
listeners
good too, though.
And the people I'm with. Mm-hmm. But
you don't have to win to be entertaining.
It's a good balance. Yeah. But that's the thing. Most times I will game without streaming because that's how I prefer to game. I prefer winning over not. So it's very important.
It's so much better than losing.
Yeah.
Like
But there are some people who never expect to win. I know gamers who never expect to win. They just game for the pure sport of gaming. I'm like, fuck off.
But that's
I want to win.
It'd be nice to have the mentality, right?
Well, I know everyone plays with intention to want to win, but know themselves and their set abilities.
I literally quit Smite because the lows were higher. Lows were lower than the highs were high. Like, one loss would erase three wins. And I'm like, I'm not going to put myself through this. It's not worth it.
It's the mobile life.
Yeah. My core gamers only, the core gamers that I have are equally as ragey as me, because when I rage, they understand.
Sounds totally healthy.
And I can come back and they'll be like, hey, what's up? Like, nothing happened.
Sounds like a
and
great
when they
community
rage,
to
I could be
a part of.
Just let them rage. Let them go. Let them rage quit. Whatever. But like,
speaking of rage quitting,
Nemo
Killer rage quit on us.
I believe it. I've done it too.
Yeah.
Emu, I don't blame you.
All right. What do we got next? Battle Chasers Nightwear. So I actually played this. I played it like 6 hours straight after going home from the podcast last week. There is nostalgia because this is Final Fantasy like 7.
Dude, those sirens. I apologize.
I don't think they really hear.
They may or may not. They're getting louder and louder.
Can you guys hear the sirens on Discord? Yeah, we hear.
They hear.
Yeah. It is what it is. There is a lot of nostalgia at work, but it's also a very, very solid game. And it's completely gorgeous, like I mentioned before. Once again, if this is your first, you weren't here last week, it has three different modes. It has the world map, where you're moving around on a set path, and it's not randomized, and you can see where the enemies are. So you can, use a different path to go around the enemies if you wanted, but you almost always want the XP, so you just fight. Then there's something called exploration mode, where it's more of a Zelda view, and your characters have abilities in there, and you can see enemies actually crawling around, and they'll attack you. But you can do special moves that will actually have some effect inside the fight. So let's say they got the jump on you, then they'll have an advantage. But if you use it, let's say a dash at them, you'd have more haste when the actual fight starts. And then you have the third mode, which is the actual fighting. Very classic RPG, JRPG. Three on the right, three on the left, three on the right. And you just go. There's whole, resurrection potions, all that stuff.
How are the boss fights in this game? Have you hit any bosses yet?
Yeah, they haven't been too challenging. It's just fucking great. It's just some good old Final Fantasy shit that I love.
But it's not hard at all. Are there elements
I've died once.
Where...
Oh, I just died. I stopped because I got fucking curb stomped by a boss. I think. Ooh. I might be in the wrong area, so I'm going
to
leave.
Are there elements where you have to do some puzzle solving?
No, not yet.
Or are they more focused on the dungeon crawling element that they don't put so many puzzles in there?
Yeah, it's more about trap evasion or avoiding damage in the dungeon so that when you do fight, you have full health. You know what I mean? Mm. So there'll be buzzsaws on the ground that you have to walk around or something like that.
But the combat itself is not too challenging, at least against the combat.
Not yet, but it is ramping up at a nice pace.
Okay.
It's getting more in depth, but not Shadow of War where you're here's 1 billion moves.
Hey, I'm curious though about your party's abilities. Like, how do they naturally obtain new abilities and or level or strengthen their
characters? They have two tech trees. Yeah, two tech trees each. And so, see that big robot? You can spec them into being a healer or damage. Basically, everybody has a damage
option.
Would
you trust a robot to heal you?
He's kind of like a Full Metal Alchemist. He's a soul trapped inside of a...
Oh, yeah. Okay. I understand.
So it's like a... I think he's a person.
I would understand. When it comes to the healer class, I feel like they have to be very empathetic, just like most people in the health industry.
He always has birds flying around him. I think he's kind of like a Bastion, he's all in tune with nature.
But Bastion is the highest DPS for Overwatch.
Okay, I'm not going to go down this road.
Okay, all right, all right. I'm sorry. Full Metal Alchemist, I think.
The moralities of robots biggest in video heart. Games that heal or at
the
or
soul
DPS.
Trapped in an actual robot body. It's not a
I think
real
it, I
robot.
Think, I'm not sure.
It's not a Bobby robot.
The characters are all.
Bobby, are you ever a healer at all?
A lot.
What, like in any games? Yeah, TF2. I played medic all the time. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. And oh. I'm the heavy, and we fucking wreck.
Oh, medic is fun in TF2.
We gotta do a TF2 night one of these. It's been a while.
Medic me and Bobby playing TF2 is me trying to convince him to go Kritzkrieg, and him convince always telling me that the other one's better.
No,
which
I mean,
it is.
Say, it depends on what you get. You go soldier, then yeah, we'll go crits, but.
I'll go. I'm like heavy. I'm like three way split with soldier, medic, and probably
you play
heavy.
Medic. Your support bitch.
No, well, it's different. It's different when you have a really good heavy in TF2.
Yeah.
Like as a mercy, it's not as rewarding, but as medic, it's
the medic
so much
can make
more rewarding.
Too. My favorite part on medic is just dueling someone with the melee because his bone saw can do some damage. Especially
it's one of the strongest melees, I feel.
Yeah, I think the engineer has the strongest melee. But, yeah, he does a lot of damage with that. And also, if you get the one where you get a whole bunch of your charge up, like 25% per auto with that. So, I don't know. It's been a while since TF2. We got to hit
yeah.
that.
Yeah. New Killer just made a comment in Discord. I have to reference this because he is so true. He is so right. If Ryan Gosling was my robot, I would let him heal me, sexually heal me.
Sexual healing. Well, this is a song, right?
When I get that feeling. By the way, I saw Blade Runner 2049 this week. I love it.
Oh, nice.
It's not as action-packed as the first one, but I highly recommend it. Visually and emotionally enthralling. Like
going back to, I had this thought and I wanted to wrap it up when we were talking about South Park. Bobby, we both watched an entire season of Big Mouth on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Like how long did
hey,
it take?
Hey, I watched the first episode.
How funny is it? Did you think it was funny?
I enjoyed it, but I'm catching up on BoJack Horseman like I said I was going to. Yeah. Diane Nguyen. Win. I'm Vietnamese and I can't even say it. Actually, nice giggle. Actually reminds me so much of my best friend, like an INTJ type of person. She reminds
me. Is she
me
an animal in the movie, in the show? I don't know.
No, she's the Asian girl that's writing BoJack's book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she marries a dog.
Did you finish it in one day or 2 days or 3 days, Bobby?
I think I watched, I went over to my girlfriend's the day it came out because her and I are both like huge fans of, you know, Jason Mantzoukas, Nick Kroll.
Who's the first guy? Mulaney. Jason, what is he known for?
Raffi from The League. Mm. You'd recognize him if you saw him.
Emilio.
He's like the crazy dude.
Emilio, yeah. I bet you could do the voice of the pervert monster, hormone monster. I'm sorry, very well. Right?
I'll have to hear it some more, even though I'd watched an entire season
his
in one day.
His voice just sounds like you naturally, so you don't even have to try too hard.
Yeah, I'll have to listen again before I make a ass of myself. Anyway, go see it. It's fucking fantastic. If you like my humor, you'll love that. But anyway, Battle Chase is very good. And other people are talking it up, too. Like, I'm not the only one that likes it, which makes me feel good. Like, this isn't just nostalgia. It is a solid
game.
What's
the price tag here? $29.99,
yeah.
I would love to play this off the family share, so
we say every episode that we're going to
show. Would you kindly put me back on your family share, guys? Because I thought we're one big family, minus the, you know, the one who just left us.
Yeah. I think I'm finally at a point where I have every like all you guys and the unnamed person on my family share, so I have access to everybody's games.
All right.
Wait, isn't that the complete
highly
opposite
recommend.
Of what direction we're going? Like, aren't we? Bobby has the most games.
Yeah, I should be sharing.
But he has access to all of our games.
I've had access to Bobby's for years.
Yeah,
so you,
I did.
Right?
No, I did for a month.
You got to redo it, I think.
Yeah, I think I had to redo my computer, which means I had to redo family share.
Let's move on. Oh, it's empty-handed, Chi. Oh, by the way, explain what happened last week.
Okay, so I made a promise on the last podcast to purchase a $4 game, try it out, because I was trying to pitch it. And I was like, okay, I completely forgot what game I was talking about. So I listened to the podcast to see what game I was talking about. And I listened to myself not even mention that I did not drop the game title. I apologize. It's actually called Empty Handed by Stay Awake Games. It was launched October 5th. And it's a really, classic 2D point-and-click adventure where you are running away from the serial killer with the top hat on. I did purchase the game, $4, not breaking the bank here. My beer in my hand cost more than that. But anyways, picked up the game, installed it. Took me literally 50 seconds to install it. The graphics aren't amazing. The point and clicking isn't even that very accurate. But the great thing about this game is that the horror element is actually there. So if you want a game that entices that the fear out of you, I would recommend it because it is a challenging horror game. And the fact that the game mechanics are a little choppy and the game doesn't help you out or hold your hand or really guide you at all. And if anything, a lot that happens in the game, I jumped through the window. One of the first things I did was just jump through a window and I ended up being injured. And from my injury, I could only move at a slower pace. So for me, I like it because it's challenging and it's scary and it was only $4 and that's about it, guys. If you want a good horror game that's only $4 that will actually scare you, I recommend it because the graphics aren't too amazing, but it's got a good story. It makes me feel like I'm playing a very, very, very old version of Resident Evil, if that makes sense. Minus shooting. Minus the shooting, you're just running around and hiding. So it's like Outlast meets Resident Evil, the original Resident Evil game, minus zombies and only one scary stalker.
You know what's crazy is it says, according to Steam charts, the all-time peak, the most people that have ever played this game concurrently is one person. Chi, you might be the only person that has this game.
Am I the only person that has ever played this game? No fucking way, guys. Oh my God! Come on, you could be the second person to ever play this game. Really? Wait, no, Stryker owns this game, and yeah, we all know who Stryker is.
These guys need to fucking call Chi and have a interview with them, and like you're 100% of the player base. You can actually influence
that is
this game.
Ridiculous.
You know what this game
I
needs?
I need to review this game.
Less gay people, or whatever you want.
I will be the one actual review on this game post release.
Wow. 14 Bactors pledged $310 to bring this project to life.
Yeah. Who made this
and
game?
And now Chi loves it.
They need to suck my dick. Who not made even, this game? I am the one person that supports
dude,
this
Dude, not
game.
Even the 14 backers are playing the game. What's going on?
What is the deal? I don't know.
I don't know, but like I'm enjoying it, guys.
Stay Away cool. Game. Yeah. Stay Away Games is the developer. I don't know. I mean, it looks like it's decent.
It's creepy. I like it.
I mean, it looks pretty low budget, but I mean, that doesn't mean it's bad.
SNES graphics, I would say.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you pick up items, you solve puzzles,
ooh,
you
items.
Mix items.
It you know, in a strange way, what it kind of reminds me of is those Sherlock Holmes games where you... It's got like... The Sherlock Holmes games have you walking around. It's like... 3D action game, I guess, in that sense. But really, you're just walking around to the puzzles.
Can you screenshot that? Can you screenshot that only one person has played this game since launch? And that person is me?
You can't look up what that person is, huh? There's no way to do
that's
that.
That's concurrent players, though. So maybe someone else played it, but not at the same time.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Yeah.
So everybody just plays this at one at a time.
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's move on.
I mean, I kind of want to check it out now. I don't know. Maybe this is like the best game ever that
maybe
nobody
it's like
knows
a
about.
Hidden
maybe
gem.
We're gonna
I'm not shitting on your game, G, at all. I think it's funny.
Well, you're too pussy to play it, Mr. I'll recommend
play
this game.
This ain't scary.
Oh, whatever.
Seems like a lot of reading, though.
All right, it's going on the wish list. I might check it out next week.
Just buy, Bobby. It's $4.
Let's become their number one sponsor.
I get paid minimum
wage.
If I can afford this game, you can afford this game. Trust.
All right. I guess it's time to get into some news.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
That was depressing news, by the way. I did not know that I was recommending a game that only one person has ever played at a time of all time.
There's a lot of perfectly fine, great games out there that just don't get played because it's a saturated market. So I wouldn't let that reflect on anything. All right. First bit of news here. IGN acquires Humble Bundle. Now, Humble Bundle is something I've been using for a long, long time now. This was like the first bundle side I ever used, and it's the best one too. I mean, some of the profits go to charity, but also they have the best games.
And you can set your price.
Yeah, so you can pay as much or as little as you want.
$1
and
minimum.
Since you're setting the price, you'll always be comfortable with it and not actually feel any guilt over how much you're spending on a game.
Yeah. Here's a good question.
They have a tiered approach. It's a $1 minimum, and then they usually have beat the average, which is usually $5, $6, $7, somewhere around there. And then they have like maybe a $10 or $15 tier where you get a whole bunch of stuff.
Then
and then
again,
the monthly bundles are pretty good too.
Yeah, they are.
Which is a subscription fee, right?
I love Humble Bundle. I love Humble Bundle when there is actually a title I am interested in. But most Humble Bundles, I would be like, you know what? It's either this or Starbucks coffee. Will I ever play these games? Definitely not. Will I drink coffee every day? Absolutely. So that $5 was better spent on something that, you know,
you're actually going to use.
Yeah, because I own a lot of video games on my Steam account. Most of them I have not touched. Do I feel better that I own them? Do you, Bobby?
Bobby does.
Not necessarily.
Oh, yeah. I have a question for you guys.
It's like, I like my money actually being you, like, I like making the value, like using the value of the money that I spent.
Right.
And I feel like games and extra special holiday sales sometimes sway me to spend money on something that I won't even spend a minute on. And that's
consumerism is stronger on Steam than anywhere else in the United States, I feel. Anyway, so what the fuck was I going to talk about? Where are we at, Bobby?
We're talking about the Humble Bundle.
Oh, yeah. Here's a question for you guys. What percentage do you attribute to? So there's three things that you could choose from. Devs, Humble Bundle, and charity. And there's sliders to adjust this. Mm-hmm. Where are your guys' sliders? And do you leave it there for every purchase and you just don't forget about it?
Yeah, I always leave it as at the default. I never even pay attention.
So what is it? 33 each, probably? 33% each?
I don't know. I don't
33
know
and a third each?
Bundle either. Let's take
I've
a
always
look at
left
this
it
one.
At default, too.
Wow. I guess I'm the only one that moves it around. I give Humble Bundle only like 10%. I give the majority to the devs, and I get it like 20% to...
You know, they not only have games, but they also do mobile games, books, and like comic books, and sometimes software as well.
So here's an interesting thing, though. Is there a conflict of interest here? Because IGN reports on games, and now they're selling games.
From the article, what I read, it sounds like they're just going to let Humble Bundle do its thing because it's already very successful. So they aren't really going to interfere. Maybe they'll do some cross promotion, but I can't imagine it would really be a conflict of interest.
So you don't think that they're going to try to make more money using this platform?
I think everybody is trying to make more money.
Yeah. So, of course, if they can give a game that they're going to give away on Humble Bundle a better score... You see what I'm saying, guys? Like, there's
maybe they'll have access to more games. I don't know. I don't know how that really benefits them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I can't see any negative things coming out of this.
I do. I see that there's conflict of interest. I see that kind of how, like, Rotten Tomatoes is owned by, like, one of the film industries. I think it's the big one, the Turner Films or...
Well, all right, dude, let's be clear. First of all, like, the parent companies own everything. Disney owns, like, so many fucking things, like things that compete directly.
But not before before this news, Humble Bundle was its own entity. So it didn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't owned by the big ones, and now it is.
Yeah, but I don't see what difference that's going to make. I mean, if IGN hosts it, are they going to, like, rate the games higher that Humble Bundle is giving away?
Exactly. Like, yes, exactly what I'm saying.
Humble Bundle already gives away really good games.
True. You know, there's... There is room for corruption there, and corruption usually happens. I mean, it's everywhere. So, I wouldn't be surprised if some things are going on behind the scenes to affect more sales. Even if it's just 0.01%, it's worth them doing it.
Yeah.
Well,
I just don't see how that negatively affects, like, either us, the people buying it, or. Like,
well, it makes reviews disingenuous.
Well,
it makes their reviews disingenuous.
When you think about it, when I look at Humble Bundle, there's at least just one, maybe two titles, and the rest is just trash, in my opinion. It's like, well, I will never use that. I will never play that. I would never even look at that on any normal basis. But since it comes with it, okay, whatever. I'll throw money at it. Only because that one title is worth more than the value of what I'm putting into the Humble
That's
Bundle.
That's generally how they
sell
their bundles.
if they're trying to corrupt the system, it's like the system is already in place. You're already paying money for something that you normally wouldn't want anyways.
The idea of giving games good reviews so they sell more copies, that's already like a greater issue. And Humble Bundle is practically giving these games away. I mean, for $1, you can get Borderlands 2 and what else? I mean, just like ridiculous. Yeah, Borderlands, Van Helsing, World.
I got you guys. But this is pre-IGN. Who knows how it's going to affect things? And 100% it's going to affect things. I just don't know whether or not it's going to be obvious and whether or not it's going to be detrimental.
What, like the hormones they put in our chicken nuggets?
I don't know.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like they're just acquiring property here. You know, when Amazon bought Twitch, I mean, Twitch didn't really change. When Google bought YouTube, it just got a lot better. I mean, well, there's some...
You don't think the New York Times bestseller list, if they started selling books, would be suspicious?
Hey, Amazon Prime is damn suspicious.
I mean, it's a pretty... If you want to get into the larger scale of the argument, then really Disney, NBC,
sure,
and like a couple other things, they literally own like everything.
But they don't review their own things.
Yeah, there's vertical integration at so many.
If you
want
to get into this argument, I say take it to the FDA.
What?
Because that's when you won't win, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because like a lot of food companies, they get to choose who actually, from the FDA, who actually approves the products. And it's like it's like things that should not be approved get approved anyways because they're going for agents who are like within the same company or something or another. I'm not a vegan or anything. I eat whatever the fuck I want to eat, like hormones or not.
So corruption is a thing.
Corruption is everywhere.
And
did you go to
this
college?
This makes it easier.
Did you go to fucking college?
No.
Then fuck you're not noise. Corrupt. No, I'm just kidding. I'm fucking I'm kidding. I'm kidding, guys.
All right,
let's move on.
All right, next bit of news here. It's being blocked. Oh, PUBG.
Yeah, so I guess every week it's in the news, but this is pretty fucking huge. 344,000 people have been banned because they put their own... PUBG's using their own anti-cheat software now. They're banning 6,000 to 14,000 people per day. Here's the weird thing.
It's mostly like texture enhancements.
What?
I feel like people can get banned for just putting in texture enhancements in their game, right?
I know. Nobody's saying. I haven't said anything. I think this is malicious shit.
Well, what do they use for detecting this? Is this
I don't know. But some new thing that they put into the game on the last patch. But here's the interesting thing. And the article writer said the exact same thing that I'm thinking. I never, like, obviously said, oh, that guy fucking clearly was cheating. Never once was I like, this guy. But in Counter-Strike, you could tell, I feel. Like, you could tell when people are cheating. But maybe it's just the structure of this game that you just get killed sometimes. And you don't really have much to say about it. And you're like, oh, he shot me in the back. Like, what was I going to do about it? Now, obviously, as much as I play, I must have run into cheaters if it's this rampant of a problem. But it wasn't an obvious problem. And now that I'm just 100% happy that...
Are you playing on the China servers at all? According to an article that Bobby just pulled up, it says the mass... majority of people that are being banned are from China. And I wonder if that is actually related to game mechanics where they're actually using things to increase their skill in game, or if it's related to like those VPNs and things that might make the game easier to run and have them not deal with latency or lag issues. Like, how much of it is actual, hey, I have aimbot versus, hey, I'm just trying to play the game where it doesn't just shit on itself so I can actually feel like I'm playing the game.
I get you.
And there are like, you know, modifications to games of course, third party or supposed hacking. But I feel like some of these people that are supposedly banned could be banned not because they're necessarily aimbotting. Maybe they're just trying to experience the game as it should be experienced, which China's servers are already struggling to even play the game without any...
Or the Chinese cheat.
God damn it.
Anyway, nothing was said about them using, like, they wouldn't be getting banned if they were using just things that weren't giving them an advantage.
I'm pretty sure there are some texture things, and I think I've heard about it before.
But maybe it says it in the EULA.
Improve the graphics in the game.
Don't do it. Just don't do it. If it says it in the EULA that you can't do that, then don't do it. You know?
Yeah.
But that is a shit ton of people, and I'm glad that they're gone. And maybe I'll be doing a little. Maybe that's why I've been doing a little better. Who knows?
So it says
you're not playing on the China servers, are you?
No, I actually all the time.
Oh.
Only why? The only reason, well, two reasons. One,
because they all lag like shit and it's easier for you to shoot them than them shoot
you. It defaults to Asia for me. I have to actively click it to the United States every single time. It happened to somebody else too on Discord. They were talking about it. So if I don't actively switch it to US, and then the second reason, yeah, they're way easier to kill. Way easier. Yeah.
So it's in BattleEye is the software that they're using.
Oh, there you go.
Anti-cheat software.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I was just curious about that. You know, they say 6,000 a day, but how many people are playing PUBG?
16 million.
Okay.
So there you go.
Percentage.
That's a pretty decent. No. 344,000 is a decent percentage of 16,000. I'd give it to you, but I want you to figure it out on your own. And no, Chi, super excited over here.
Oh, yeah, on something.
Hi, guys.
1/8 Chinese person here who does not hack and plays on U.S. servers because I am an American. I'm super excited to announce that there is officially a brand new Counter-Strike D_Dust2 map. If you haven't heard yet, D_Dust2 was completely remodeled. It's got a brand new facelift, and it is available on beta test servers right now. I highly recommend going on YouTube, checking out some of the available videos that are there. D_Dust2 is looking good. It's like when you break up with somebody, wait a couple of years, you see them again, and you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? Just kidding. I've never
D_Dust2
done that.
D_Dust2 has been in the gym making gains.
Okay. Let me talk about D_Dust2 a little bit more.
D_Dust2
is probably the most played map of any multiplayer FPS game ever. And
yeah,
it has been, I think, probably 15 years since they've made any substantial, like, they, okay, so D_Dust2.
When did they make Go? Go, they redid it. So
yeah,
Go,
they did redo
is
it.
Is Go 15
Go.
Years old?
No, Go is probably 5 or 6, maybe
okay,
older.
So they redid it for that.
Maybe 8. I don't know maybe how old I am anymore. But anyways, with this game, they did a completely new facelift. Everything looks different. They changed the buildings, the corners, the objects that you duck and cover. I would say some of the most major changes are I would either add in extra cubbies, and they would change the material, which would keep you from throwing, basically would change your nade throws. So when it comes to, I forgot what they call it, I think it's like the sky map. Like you can from a very
skybox,
you could from a very far position throw a nade. It'll go over the entire, like,
what would stop it before? Just a wall,
map.
A wall you couldn't see.
Yeah, like a wall or anything else, or it's just something that's blocked out. So they closed off, they opened up some new sky maps. They put in, I know some of the major changes. So let's say, we all know D_Dust2. I hope as PC gamers, if you don't know what D_Dust2 fucking is as a PC gamer, where the fuck have you been?
Bobby, like, do you feel like, if I blindfolded you and put you in D_Dust, you'd be able to get away, around?
I know where you would be.
Do you know what that
I know where I would be.
No.
I'd be like, oh, I'm in Long A.
I haven't played that much Counter-Strike.
Wow. Not, I could 100% get around blindfolded in D_Dust 2, I think. Mm-hmm. I've played it that much.
Oh, yeah. Dita Sue is the map of my childhood. And with this map, this is the one thing. They actually took it out of the competitive the competitive rotation because there are so many little gimmicks that make it such a cheese map, I would say. There's so many different ways to cheese.
Just complains about it.
Yeah, of course.
And they smooth all that shit out.
Well, kind of. They fix things, but then they can also create bugs and cause more problems. But if anything, but most of all, people can play the map just as usual. All the corners, are mostly the same. There's just subtle differences that will force you to relearn everything.
Where there wasn't crevices before.
Yes.
There's a lot more crawl spaces.
And then some of the most notable things, when you are in T-spawn and you run towards A, the double doors have a screen on the top now, so you can't really throw a nade through if you're in the middle of double doors. They changed the entire way the map looks. It's more, how did you put it?
Whitewash.
Yeah, it's like whitewashed. It's really sandy. It's it's what D-Dust would actually be.
Bobby, do you think it looked better before? Like the orange as opposed to, the sand as opposed to the...
I think it's refreshing. Mm. And they've added a lot of contrast attributes to it. So if someone's hiding behind a box, you'll be able to see their player model a little bit better against like a white box with a white cloth on it versus a box that's covered in shadows and somebody's hiding in the shadows. Like D-Dust 2 is such a played out map that never loses its classic appeal, but this is something that kind of renews what it is and it sets limitations, but also like opens up the map to more combat efficient things. Like in Long A, there's this car that's tucked away in the right corner and it never really offered good cover and it was kind of actually in the way, but they finally put it where it's used for cover and will actually suffice as something. This is what I like about it, because it's the same map that we all love and know, but it's fine-tuned to be more effective. Like they even put extra trees in the map so you can kind of memorize the different patterns of the leaves to know where your grenade throws can go. If you're as much into CSGO, not win at all. There's like a certain angle you have to throw the grenade to make it go through the skybox and land particularly where you need to go. Mm. It's like it's the grenade. I forgot the official term, but you actually have to study the physics of how you throw your grenades to make the most effective like smoke and flashbang tosses. Like Counter-Strike competitively takes strategizing, and that they made a new D-Dust too, because it just refreshes your strategy. It forces you to relearn the map.
I'll be playing Shadow War. Thank you.
Yeah, no one really plays CSGO anymore. That's what everyone's saying, but it's the one game. It's the one game after, 15 years? The one game that got me into PC gaming.
Yeah.
Steam.
Your number one game ever, right?
I can play with strangers or with my core gamers up to this day and still enjoy.
So you're going to play it?
CSGO is...
Is this going
to
bring you back?
I want to. I really...
It's only on the test servers right now, right?
I'm sorry?
It's only on the test servers.
But I would love to play this map. And you're right, Lab Monkey.
I'm sure you will.
I, in quotes, no one really plays CSGO anymore. That's not the truth. But...
Incidus does, and that motherfucker keeps getting, multiple $100 drops. Consistently.
Oh God, I love the CS community. I really do. But for me, with Counter-Strike, I will play it, I'll pull away, and then I'll come back. It's the longest standing, for me, in my opinion, it's the longest standing title that has never lost its audience. Like, if there's one game that has had, that has the most diehard audience, it's Counter-Strike. Not Bobby. Halo, not Call of Duty, Counter-Strike.
Bobby, in the history of the world, more matches of chess or more matches of Counter-Strike has happened?
It's a tough call.
I know. That's why I proposed the question. Raise one eyebrow before you answer this one.
If we're counting chess matches online, then I don't know. Ooh. I have to go with chess.
But I feel like chess never went viral online. Like, like
Yahoo Games.
Yeah, it was put on, and still going right now, right? There's probably 1,000 people playing chess on Yahoo right now.
Wait, didn't you know that over 50% of the female gamers are over the age of 50? According to that one survey that Chad brought out, don't you remember?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they play like solitaire and shit.
That makes me roll my eyes so far back. All you see is white.
You're going to be that girl, dude.
I'm wondering.
I am, but
this.
I'm not playing fucking chess. I'm going to be in San Junipero with not a lesbian wife.
Dude, Yahoo Games is legit.
I played. Like, that's what I'm going to do.
I played a lot of games on Yahoo. Yahoo
Games. They had a lot of good ones, especially back in the day.
But now I had to delete my account to fucking.
By the way, that
identity.
Was a Black Mirror reference, if you didn't catch that.
I didn't catch it.
You've never seen Black Mirror?
I love it. I watched it all.
There's an episode called San Junipero.
Oh, so good.
Where it's two lesbians in this virtual.
Oh, here we go.
It's like virtual reality heaven.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm going to be. But I'm not a lesbian. I said I wasn't going to be in there with my lesbian wife. I'll be in there with my AK-47. Thank you. Like, I think a virtual reality heaven should have Respawn. San Junipero did not.
Respawn like you could be somebody else?
No, respawn like you could die and then just like come back to life.
Oh.
Or just not die.
Oh, because you couldn't die in that, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch it, Bobby? That episode?
No.
God, it's so good,
dude.
That
seems like a show you have to pay attention to. I'm not
really. No. Well, there's no. You can watch one episode from any season and it just stands alone.
It's, can I watch it while I'm doing stuff on my laptop? Or am I going to miss stuff?
I don't know. It's think of it as Twilight Zone. That's what it is. Modern day Twilight Zone.
I don't know. I like the original Twilight.
All right, move on quick before she comes back.
Hold on. I'm checking out. Chad is talking about, Perfect Dark. I'm not familiar with this game. So this
is the Perfect Dark is like, who's talking about it? I don't see it.
It was further up in the chat, but they were mentioning it.
It's
so it
like
came out in 2000, the spiritual successor to GoldenEye.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm. Same creators. I think it was Bungie or Rare. Rare, that's what it was. Okay. Rare became Bungie. Am I right about that? I don't know why I think there was something there. Okay, sorry. Damn. I played it. And
I mean, it's got a 9.8, but it is IGN, so they're probably just giving that review so they can sell it for
30 cents. Wow.
Humble.
I don't know. I remember my friends and I not being that impressed with Perfect Dark.
Yeah, I didn't play enough GoldenEye to really.
Our favorite thing from that one is like, if you're going up against this bunch of soldiers and they're working to get to you, one of them would say, "Watch out, she's a tricky one," and that's we said that to each other a million times. But that's about it.
All right, let's move on to hardware. Okay, so my new keyboard did come in.
I'm gonna go check it out while you talk a little bit.
Yeah, there's not much to look at. This is the most plain-looking keyboard you've ever seen in your life, and that's what I really like about it. I got it from a website, WASD Keyboards, and you can customize your keyboards completely on this site. So I got it with silent cherry, red cherry MX keys, and I got it in... Are you hitting buttons on my keyboard over there? Yeah, that's typing stuff. And I got it. They only have ABS caps for the keycaps. They don't have PBS, unfortunately. But I did get some O-rings put on it to make it more silent. And I got it completely blank and black.
From afar, it looks like a very generic keyboard.
It does look cheap.
It looks... I said generic, you say cheap, same, right?
Yeah.
But different. Anyways, no, but it does look like one of those basic Microsoft keyboards that you get with like a Best Buy console.
So,
no numpad, though.
So
no
much
numpad.
For us hitting them up for sponsorship, now that I think about it.
Well, no, I mean, that's kind of the look I'm going for.
So yeah, right.
Completely plain. There's not even a label on this thing at all. I think the label is underneath on the back, but it is completely plain and... That's what I like about it. It just looks totally flat.
Imagine the guy who gets a sweet car and then gets a matte finish, right, Bobby? Something like that, right? It's kind of like a matte finish.
I've talked about this before, though, but I'm like totally past the whole flashy phase of PC building with lights and UV. And
I know you guys can't see my face quite yet because we're a podcast, not a vodcast, but I looked over there and this frown just took over my face. Like, I am underimpressed.
Gee,
you know how girls... Okay.
Gee, we got to talk...
Bobby, if you're a keyboard...
Gee, we're trying to get sponsorship.
If your keyboard had wheels, it would not be a Maserati. It would not be anything else. It would be a fucking Kia. Like, your keyboard from the outside... I'm so sorry, Bobby. This probably hurts your feelings, but your keyboard looks like a Kia.
It hurts our sponsorship. But Bobby, tell us what's under the hood of your Kia. God damn it. She hates money.
No, that's what... I mean, I feel like
the income,
listeners...
Income? No!
I feel like the listeners already know me as a person. I have... Not many people know this about me, but I have like a very expensive wallet. It's a Louis Vuitton wallet. Nobody knows it because it's all black. And nobody pays... Like, if you look very closely, you can see the Louis Vuitton logo in the corner there. $100 for this wallet. Nobody knows what it is. That's the kind of person I am. I have very fine taste, but I don't like people... I don't like being gaudy with...
I have a counter theory.
Yes.
I feel like you feel the way to be the gaudiest is to be an under-embellished gaudiness. You know what I'm saying?
Like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar has nothing on this dude's humble, let me tell you that, especially with his keyboard.
The humble gaudy. Oh, my God. That's the podcast name.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I like the most about this keyboard is it is a 10 keyless. And I've never had one of those before, and it's perfect. The size of it is perfect. The other keyboards was always way too long. I had to keep my arms spread too far apart to be able to use the mouse and the WASD or the QWER. And this one is just the right size.
It looks like a keyboard that came off the belt too soon.
Gee.
Like, it didn't quite finish the process.
Okay, that was worth it. Hey, Bobby, what's that backlight you got back there now? Why do you have a floodlight behind your computer?
Because there's no lights in Bobby's apartment. Don't you realize how intimate it is right now?
Brown chicken, like, brown cow.
Yeah. Like,
no, that's for when I stream. It's kind of hard. The lighting in here isn't great. Aside from that light being broken right now, even when that's on, the lighting when I stream is really bad at night. So I needed a front-facing light. So I occasionally use that. But, yeah, so...
Bobby, I'm sure your keyboard is great. I'm just being harsh.
Well, I know it's great. I don't need the approval
like
of other people.
Girls like flashy, loud things.
I don't care what girls
Ooh,
like.
Ooh, sparkle.
I really don't. I'm not trying to pick up any ladies in the club here, especially with my computer. I learned long ago
But Bobby,
your computer is not going to press.
You could get there and get the flashiest, brightest thing possible, right? You could just build whatever you like if you wanted to.
Well, speaking of flashy and bright things, have we ever even put effort into giving away the Patreon winner for our keyboard?
I'm working on that as we speak.
Right.
You know, I will say this, the B820 that we reviewed very favorably from Bloody, that was quieter than this keyboard. Even with the Silent Cherry MX and the rubber O-rings on it, the 820 was still quieter than this keyboard. This one is a hell of a lot quieter than the DOS keyboard I had before, but it's still a little bit louder.
Okay. Well, you made everybody sad with your keyboard. Let's move on. The Logitech G502, I talked about it last week. I got it in half an hour. I was super stoked. A week later, it's exactly what I thought last week. I think this is going to be my primary mouse, and the G900, which is their flagship. I guess the 903 is their flagship.
I'm glad you found your mouse, because it's not cheap or easy to find, you know, a mouse of your preference. You really have to spend time with it. You have to work with all the different settings.
And
you have to consider some of the games that you're more invested in, because I'm pretty sure there are some mice that are more compatible with my FPS side or my MOBA side or even my casual RPG side. Like, there are... I always have to switch the DPI on the fly whenever I'm just browsing or just using my computer web browser on the internet. But then as soon as I switch over to gaming, if my DPI is not in the right setting, I might as well be using a controller, which by the way, I try playing Battlefield with a controller. I'm like, why am I even playing this video game? I don't care how good this video game is. This controller stunts me from being able to enjoy it because like my thumb just doesn't know how to pace itself. I suppose like it's like I am overextending. It's bad. What's the name of the Netflix show that you were just talking about?
Big Mouth.
It's like a big mouth boner at the wrong time.
Oh,
yeah. Jeez,
that's all that guy gets.
Yeah, it's a hormone monster attacking my thumbs. Controllers are not the way, and this is why finding the right mouse is so important.
I really like it. Has this like thing that juts out to the left, and your thumb just rests on it. Mm-hmm. So you never really think about like holding your thumb up, but your other mouse
didn't have that.
No, it was very like.
Oh yeah, dude! Once slender. You get a thumb rest, you don't go back.
Yeah. It's fucking hot.
I don't like thumb rests. It's too much material.
Not got it enough. All right.
Moving on.
No, I like my mice simple. Oh. Like my mouse is not as simple as your keyboard, but I do like my mice simple. I don't like extra buttons. Like I like enough up to maybe mouse 5 on my mouse, and that's about it.
So I've had a Squatty Potty for about a month now.
Woo!
And what is a Squatty Potty? I've never heard of this.
You're kidding me.
Are you kidding right now, Bobby?
I've never heard of this.
Can we pause so you can watch the commercial? Is there any way? Is that possible?
Just put it up in
the
background.
Are these like commercials that are on TV, like cable television?
No, they had a viral.
Do you know what a hemorrhoid is, Bobby?
A hemorrhoid?
Or, oh, yeah. Actually,
through experience or just through knowledge?
Warconius was bringing up earlier about anal fissures. And the reason that people get anal fissures is because they sit on the toilet too long and they're forcing too much. Right. And that's because we all shit wrong. We shit like sitting when we should be squatting.
Oh, wait. We talked about this. Is this the thing where you put your feet on and it lifts you up?
It lifts your knees up.
That's amazing. Squatty potties are amazing. But you don't necessarily need a squatty potty. You just have to be in the squat position.
But how can you do that without... that
I don't use the squatty potty, but I have this cart that I put my makeup on and I roll it around the bathroom. Yeah.
Anything at work.
Yeah, anything
that elevates your feet.
Elevates your legs.
Like a bunch of books. Position. A bunch of like issues of DL Gaming Magazine, whatever you got around. Just put your feet on there, it'll work. But they're cheap. I guess you could buy 2 for $30 at Costco.
I bought my mom a squatty potty for Christmas. This is how awesome this product is.
Not just the Middle East. All the Asian countries, France is switching over as we speak.
And Asians are actually known to have more hemorrhoids than other races.
Thailand too.
Yep. Starchy our diet is.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, the way we're supposed to shit is squatting in the woods. For 200,000 years, that's how we did it. And then somebody made a seat that we sit on, and now your sphincter gets pinched. Anyway, overall, it makes shitting easier, pretty much.
Okay. How's it working out for you?
Yeah. It kind of just falls out instead of you having to push it out.
Okay. Here's the thing.
Huge difference.
Here's the thing. I don't need a squatty potty, but I know the benefits of a squatty potty because I've used them before and I've used things that...
But you have a makeup cart.
I have.
Why would you buy one?
Yeah, that's true. But here's the thing. Like, I know people who suffer from constant hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
And my biggest advice is, first off, try the squatty potty. Actually, poo in the position your body is meant to poo. And then sit... And then, like, okay, if there is one listener, and I'm going to help out this one listener because this is what I found out. If there is one listener who suffers from severe hemorrhoids to the point you're considering surgery, let me help you out, sir or madame. There is a technique, and it's related, and it's all natural.
Ooh.
What you do is you squeeze, you crush garlic, and fill up like a bottom layer of garlic, like a giant paint bucket. Make sure it's clean, and then just throw some garlic in the bottom of that paint bucket, and then with the hottest water possible that you can get, dump the water into the paint bucket with the garlic, where it just covers the garlic. You don't have to like fill it up all the way. Just cover the garlic, and then let the steam come up and just plug the steam with your butt while sitting in the bucket. And let the garlic...
Have you done this shit?
No. No, I don't. I've had one hemorrhoid in my past, but I don't have a problem with hemorrhoids.
Gotcha.
So let the garlic steam just like shoot up into your asshole for, I don't know, like 5-10 minutes until the steam subsides. And then supposedly this will fix your problem within a couple of days.
This is, might be my favorite episode ever.
Why? No, like you're laughing, Bobby, but hemorrhoids is a real issue.
It is.
I had a boyfriend who would claim that he didn't want to have sex with me just because his hemorrhoids hurt too much.
Wow.
We're no longer together and yeah. He's a pedophile, but... I am telling you, garlic steam works. So,
right.
You know, just
we have to move on. Now,
Chi. Or you just go to the bowling alley, get some garlic.
Bobby, give me a random 1 through 41. I'll get
one
you
1 through 41.
Yeah, don't choose it in your head.
Oh, I gotta do the random number.
Yeah.
All right.
Chi, talk about him some more. Actually, just a little bit more.
No, we do not want to go down this path. So, guys, what
we already did, and now we're
coming
in the
back.
Woods.
I got the generator out.
Squatty potty, garlic steam equals no hemorrhoids.
Is it 5? Is that the number?
No.
99 problems and hemorrhoids ain't one. I'm telling you, just try it.
So the winner of our keyboard giveaway that none of us liked. Is number 28. That's going to take me a while to count that out. So you guys talk it out.
All right. Well, let's move on to listener questions here while we're waiting for Emilio to pull up the winner. First question here is coming from Exaris. He says, I saw that MSI just announced a brand new 32-inch widescreen monitor running at 165 hertz. What are your opinions on the announcement? And what opinions do you have on other monitors out there?
Brands. I have a winner.
Asus, Acer, and BenQ. All right, who's the winner?
Tom Corhaley.
All right.
Congratulations, buddy. You're going to get a keyboard.
Congratulations, Tom.
You're getting the noisiest, brightest keyboard you could possibly imagine.
And if you don't want it, we'll have a runner-up winner.
Yeah, for sure. Let us know if you don't need a keyboard.
Yeah.
But it's a bloody keyboard, so it's definitely good. But
we will
just
email you. By the way, Tom is going to get an email. We're announcing a winner across all of our social media platforms. So don't forget to check us out. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Steam community. So,
Tom, if you ever wanted a numpad on your left side, boy, this is your lucky day.
No, it's shiny. It's bright. It's distracting.
All of them
are. The complete opposite. You know how opposites attract?
Yeah.
If you want to be Bobby's keyboard soulmate, then congratulations.
I should have given Chi that shot.
B845R keyboard. It's true.
I thought about this all day, like throughout the day, several times, that I should lead off the episode that I'm going to be drinking. I'm going to be getting more drunk throughout the episode. And so new people must come in and be like, this guy's a fucking idiot. Or like, well, he can't even talk in it as a podcast. Literally, I know. I'm having a great time over here. You know what I mean? Like...
No, I know.
If podcasts, it was their first time, they wouldn't know that we're drinking.
I know podcasts that start their podcast with a drinking game.
Yeah, but everybody knows that they're drinking, though.
Oh,
you
yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I never announced that we're drinking.
Well, now they know. Now they know.
I think it's just assumed.
Should we get back to the
podcast?
To the listener question.
I don't even know what this question means. Go ahead, Bobby. That's
MSI
all you.
MSI just announced a new 32-wide-inch monitor running at 165 hertz. What are your opinions on the announcement, and what opinions do you have on other monitor brands like Asus, Acer, and BenQ? BenQ.
Yeah, so this monitor that he linked, I took a look at it, and it looks great. The only thing is it was a FreeSync monitor. So if you have an NVIDIA card and you want to do G-Sync, not an option there. But other than that, looks great. 32 inches, way too big for me. I'm starting to feel like my monitor is just too big right now.
Fuck? You have a postage stamp.
It's 27 inches. Yeah.
Postage stamp.
For
you know what? Anything
gamer,
more and it's too big
inches.
For me. Can I come clean about something, guys? Whenever you talk about monitors, I'm
after
just
hemorrhoids,
like,
what's left?
When you guys talk about monitors, I am so satisfied with mine. Yeah,
what do you
have? I don't even know. That's the thing. I know I have an Asus, which is always a trusted brand. I have an Asus laptop and monitor. I do my homework when I am purchasing the thing, but other than that, if it's working, just well enough where the colors aren't too off, it's not too bright, it's not too dark, I am content.
But Chi, what about being wowed? like I'm wowed by my monitor.
No, I feel like a monitor that's like over the top is like a dick that's too big. Like you think it's bigger and better, but really you're just
that's
fine.
What Bobby's
it's
trying like to how say, it is. Right, Bobby? No. Like, I mean, not about the dick.
Sometimes just good enough.
You're
is
saying
good
that
enough.
My monitor is too you know big for I mean? Competitive play, right?
I don't know what it is you guys think I'm trying to say, but I'm sure that you're wrong.
That my Potter, that my ultra wide is too big for competitive play.
Oh yeah, widescreen. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And it depends on the game that you
it's
want
like a dick
to play.
Too big,
too.
Yeah, widescreen is not up my alley, or you know.
I mean, until
playing,
you try
if you're
it,
first person shooter.
Come over,
you're really trying to immerse yourself.
Get
in the
out
game.
Of here, Amelia. Go away. Ew.
No, not a big dick.
I'm just kidding.
God damn it. My ultra wide. Play my ultra wide, and then make your assumption.
I know. I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding.
Oh, okay, good.
No, I'm sure it would
well,
be
you
great.
You pulled your feet away, which is weird.
But the. I don't know. For playing MOBA games and maybe RTS games,
way better for that.
Even Counter-Strike, they always play on 24.
Is it more information? Information is power, right? Is it more information better?
But you're getting the same amount of information. It's just condensed in a smaller screen.
Not so for like PUBG, where you can literally see more than
your opponent. To be honest, I might appreciate the widescreen monitor for this reason and this reason.
You have slanted eyes.
It's because, shut up. My eyes are pretty big for an Asian girl. But anyways, outside, and I'm pretty tall for an Asian girl too, and I'm pretty thick for an Asian girl, so I don't think I fit.
A lot of Asians are thick.
Really? In the right places, though?
All the jungle Asians are thick.
I'm only like half jungle Asian, though.
Yeah.
Well. Just kidding. I'm three quarters. Anyways, let me say about ultra wide. I have the one thing I love about PC gaming. It is like pure tunnel vision type of gaming. When you're in your computer seat, when you're looking at the monitor, you can ignore the world. And that's the reason I flunked out of my senior year of high school. But in World of Warcraft. But anyways, when it comes to console gaming, people are just walking past your screen. It's you've got that annoying thumbstick.
Like, yeah.
And it's like
it's a personal experience.
Yeah, when it comes to PC gaming, you can just like full on become enveloped into what it is. Borderline VR, but not VR, because VR still kind of sucks right now. Like it's the best way to play video games because it's the most intimate. It's the most one-on-one. The world can wait. I'm playing my computer game right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like ultra-wide would be very helpful.
It makes it more VR-like.
Yeah. Because like,
it takes up more of your periphery.
Of having that, you know, that level of seclusion, that level of just like, you know, I'm in my own world right now. I've plugged in, motherfucker. Don't bother me. Don't mess with me. So I'm in my ultra-wide world right
Bobby,
now.
Bobby, you're really talking about going smaller? Like literally, like really thinking about it?
No.
Oh.
No, I won't downgrade. I mean, okay.
No, not downgrade. Monitor. It could be a better monitor, but just smaller.
No, it wouldn't be. It would be better if I were like serious and like I'm going to be like super competitive. Yeah, I'd get a 24-inch monitor and I'd scale down all the graphics and all my games and like do all that shit.
I have a 22-inch, to be honest. I'm not unhappy with it
22.
Either.
22. Yeah, I mean, I gave
No, Bobby, what's the size of the monitor that you gave me? Because that's the exact same size as my other monitor.
Which one was that?
You gave me an old monitor. You're like, hey, I got a monitor
that one,
I don't need.
Yeah. Oh, that one. That used to be my old secondary monitor. That one was small. That one was a widescreen. I want to say it's like a 19-inch.
Really?
Dang.
Oh, I'm running small, guys.
I mean, yeah. I remember when I remember playing games on a 15-inch CRT. I don't know. I've had so many monitors, and I just with hardware in general, I'm like past the point of thinking that everything that is either newer or more expensive is the best option. I mean, you really got to think, what are your needs as a player? What kind of games do you play, and what do you want to accomplish? If you're going for an immersive experience, then you absolutely go for a widescreen.
This Kia is just right for me. Just kidding, Bobby. I'm not calling your keyboard a Kia. It looks like it from afar, but up
but
close, I'm sure.
All right, moving on.
Okay. All right.
She's drunk, everybody, in case you're wondering what's going on.
See, I feel like they figure that out. I feel like we don't need to explain when.
No, I want to.
What did I drink today, though? Like, how drunk
I just gave
am
you
I?
A shot. I feel like I shouldn't have.
I drank, let's see, a
Belching
pint.
Beaver.
I drank a pint of 7.5 ABV. I drank a bottle of 5% cider, and then I also had a shot of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a 5'4" Asian girl.
Yeah.
155 pounds. All in right. case you're wondering. So what's the next listener question?
Next listener question coming from Rubber Nuts is, I enjoy being naked. Unfortunately, I have a spotty ass. Would a spotty ass, in your opinion, take from its firmness and roundness and make it an ass you wouldn't want to see, grab, or bite?
Does he mean spotty as I think in he like means moles like, or cellulite?
Like, no, probably zits, right?
Oh, whiteheads?
I assume freckles.
Freckles?
Oh, yeah, probably
okay,
freckles.
Okay, spotty. Okay, what does spotty translate to you from Australian?
Yeah, that's true,
to
too.
English? Because when I think spotty, I'm thinking cellulite.
Well, he put way too many P's and too many N's in his opinions. So I'm thinking he's got way too many.
Let's break it up.
Freckles?
Let's break it up. Could you deal with an ass that was spotty with acne?
Well, it depends. Some people like freckles. If it's freckles.
Okay. Freckles, whatever. I don't really care. But zits, acne on the ass, how do you feel?
Well, I hate having it. It hurts.
Oh.
But well, I have one, it's usually just one or two.
Here's what you do, Rubber Nuts. You get some garlic.
Oh, hemorrhoid spotting. I guess we didn't go down that path.
No, I think you're doing all right, man. You just let that thing hang out, get a tan, you know, and...
You don't need to get a tan. I like cellulite on a booty because cellulite makes it real. And I don't know. Cellulite means it's like, I really like a nice booty on a guy. And I don't want a booty that feels like an ice sculpture. You know, I want
He says right there, firmness and roundness. So I think he's doing okay in that department.
Did you want to C, grab, and bite? He spelled bite, B-I-G-H-T. Like, what does that mean?
Maybe that's how they spell it down under. I think we need pictures in the Discord chat to make a final decision on that one. Yeah. All right, next question.
Moving on.
Hopefully Amelia will be back for this one. Question for the podcast and everyone else. Spent about an hour with the... Shit. You know what? Before I read this, I want to make sure I get proper credit. Who asked this one? This is coming from Warconius. Okay.
Warconius.
Question for the podcast and everyone else. Hold on. I hear Emilio flush. Doesn't sound like he washed his hands.
No, he definitely did not.
Definitely did not.
Does he ever?
Oh, dude, that's why we have a Hep A outbreak.
Here's my thing
about washing your hands. My dick is way cleaner than my hands. So if I touch my dick with my dirty hands, I only dirtied my dick.
Okay, but
I didn't
dirty
my hands. What?
Okay, tell that to my hair and my face.
Plus, I don't have... I don't have time. Like, I have to come back and be entertaining because it's going to go off the rails.
Okay, this conversation is about to go off the rails. I was going to bring this up very early in the podcast, but it's now coming up because it's relative to the conversation at hand. Pretty sure I was peed on today. Bobby lives downtown San Diego in a very tall, how many stories building?
I think it was like 20.
20-story building. And as I was walking, it's San Diego, for crying out loud. It never rains out here, even if you're doing the rain dance for ages on end. Freaking Emilio, you can hear him wrestling in the back. But regardless, just walking to my luck has been so bad today. And walking into Bobby's building, I felt this like, I was drenched. Like, there's no other adjective that would describe the water cascading on me other than drenched. Like a waterfall of an unexplainable liquid had, you know, hit my hair, my face, my mouth, my chest. And it startled me. It actually startled me. And I was like, what the fuck? Since when is it raining in San Diego? This is like a sudden downpour. And it turns out I look down and only a subsection of the sidewalk is wet. I look up. I don't see anything that would, you know, reveal what, you know, the crime was. But I'm pretty sure somebody was sticking their dick over the balcony and pissing on my head. And I was so mad coming in. I came into... Bobby, how was my mood when I came into the studio?
Oh, yeah. You were not happy.
I was not happy.
And she's much happier now.
I went into... like four drinks in. That's why I'm drinking tonight, guys.
Because of pee.
Yeah, piss in my mouth. I immediately went into Bobby's bathroom.
Can we get a cut of that? Can somebody cut that out? And what? We'll use that piss in my mouth. Can we use that?
Drip, drip, drip.
That's the next intro.
Let's move on.
All right, let's move on.
All right. Coming from Morconius, question for the podcast and everyone else. Spent about an hour and a half with a Vive, played the lab, job simulator, and Arizona.
Ooh.
And something else.
I want Arizona Sunshine, it's called.
Arizona Sunshine. Yeah.
That's zombies during the day attacking you, and you can only pivot, I believe, and shoot them.
While it was cool, seriously not impressed with the fidelity. It looked bad. Non-HD. Question is the Oculus much better, or is the first generation VR generally underwhelming?
Wow. I am surprised that you were underwhelmed. I am, yeah. I think it's impressive off the bat.
Graphically, personally. Just graphically alone, it is underwhelming. But the actual 3D element where you feel like you are in a virtual reality, that's the part that isn't underwhelming.
Yeah.
The fact that it fools your senses. Yeah, the experience itself, it fools your senses.
But I wasn't upset or even underwhelmed with the graphics at all. Like, they're not, you can see that it's a video game, right?
Yeah,
there's jagged edges.
It's obvious graphically, just through your vision alone, it's under impressive, but the experience itself, it kind of distracts you from that, I suppose.
Yeah.
Because you could look at it,
because you're having such a good time.
You could be looking at Shadows of Mordor or whatever the game
Shadow
is.
Shadow of War.
And it's super impressive graphics, but that game barely pulled you in. You know, it barely forced anything else other than under and...
It makes it a visceral experience.
Yes, exactly. But with VR, even though the graphics aren't as impressive, at least the experience made you feel like you were...
You
were in the game versus not.
Yeah. The immersion is worth the lack of graphics. But I was never bothered by the graphics. Bobby, so what do you think about all this?
Well, the first Oculus that we tried out, yeah, there was definitely.
Well, yeah, that was like looking through a
screen door.
A screen door, yeah.
Yeah. Now, when I tried out the Vive, I was pretty impressed with it. And I think the best accomplishment is just making it feel like you're in a 3D environment and it's responsive. When you move your head, it moves. There's no delay, there's no lag. But yeah, the graphics are still a little lacking. I mean, they're pretty high resolution, but you're looking at them so closely that they need to be even higher. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's worth investing for myself.
I guess it's also
Vive right now. They're just, it really depends on the games, because graphics don't always make the game. You can have a game that has lower, you know, it has like lower graphics, but it's still a good game.
So yeah.
I don't know. I'm just waiting for some really good titles.
Like Spelunky.
Spelunky doesn't have amazing graphics, but it's a great game.
Bobby,
I hear Vive is coming out with a wireless option. Like, they're still testing.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, that was a news story.
Yeah, it was a news story.
About an update
improving their wireless Vive. And I think I might be willing to invest in
not just
like
that, Chief, but so right now, I think the maximum you could put is like room scale, right? So it's like 9x9 or something like that. But now it's going to be like 1,400 feet by 1,400 feet. So basically a warehouse, like a small warehouse of... You can basically play football in it now. That's going to be the capability in the new one.
By the way, speaking kind of runes, how is our studio update going?
I think... So we'll talk about it off air, but...
Okay.
Some bad news, but not terrible. But that, in that respect... I believe that for the studio, we'll be buying a Vive, for sure. I don't see us not getting it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I don't think there's going to be a new version coming out anytime soon. At least a new version that would make me want to buy it, like higher resolution, like a big jump in technology. Sure, wireless would be great, but I think I'd need more than that. I don't know. Still not sold on it.
I'm taking cheese toys away. All right,
I think that's going to do it. So what's next week looking like for everybody?
Well, Shadow of War all week for me.
For me, more horror games. I cannot wait to just play video games this week. I've had I call them the in-laws, you know, knock on wood. We're in this past week, so I did not get to play any video games. But I'm going to be extremely selfish and play all the video games that I could possibly want to play. And have lots and plenty to talk about next week.
Who's going to drop the money on the agony? Somebody is.
Well, they don't have a release date. I mean, they said 2017.
That's right.
So, I don't know.
Oh,
if they're not out by if they're not out by Halloween, that's a huge.
I would love to beat Resident Evil 7 this October because I'm more than halfway through the game. I think I could beat it.
Out of all the games that made a big splash,
preparing myself for South Park, I should play South Park.
Out of all the games that made a big splash and disappeared, I think Resident Evil's at the top of that list.
But it like was like a 9-hour game. You can't be mad at it. It was a great game, but it was short.
I just feel like it just stopped. It's like. Boom, hype, and then
well, it's
best
not
game
a multiplayer
ever.
Game.
Nothing. What?
Some games are like that. If it's not a multiplayer game, there's really no reason to keep talking about it. It's like Cuphead. Cuphead sold over a million copies or something. You know,
I'm still talking about it.
Or when you think about it, some of our greatest novels growing up, like and they're short. They don't have to be super thick like it. You know, things like Ender's Game.
Started with as a small story,
small short book, or things like Lord of the Flies, and some other notable titles as well. It doesn't have to be long in order to be a memorable title, and I feel like Resident Evil is comparable to those kind of like short story books, where not a short story, but just not in
compressed.
Yeah, a compressed story because you got the full experience
truncated
in a small amount. So that's why Resident Evil 7 is like Lord of the Flies. It's a game that doesn't take long to get from beginning to end, but it's memorable.
Unless you're a scared-ass bitch like me. Bobby, what are you going to be playing?
I don't know yet. Immortal Rednex is on sale right now for $13.50. I might pick that one up.
Are we going to have a co-op party anytime soon?
I think we should do some TF2.
What?
I'd be down. Oh, and what is it? 10-year anniversary of Orange Box, I believe, is this week, and a huge update for TF2 is coming. So it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can align that with our next podcast.
Yes. Anything Valve title related, I am in.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I may or may not get South Park too. Like, I'm on the fence with that one. We'll see what happens.
Wednesday or Thursday, guys? What do you think? This podcast is going to be released Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursdays are always better for me.
That's when you're... Okay, all right. Let's move on. So, speaking for... Damn, I almost said it. I almost started with that motherfucker.
Oh, man.
All right. Starting with... Speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself, the excellent Emilio, Squatty Titties. Bye-bye, everybody.